Thank you, Russ. Good morning. Well, it is getting nice out. Now, granted, some of you walked in and said, it's cool out there. You know, well, come on, it's Minnesota. You know, the sun's shining. There's virtually no snow on the ground. What more do you want for March? This is good weather. It's doing well. I will mention something. George was asking for things that happened this week. Donna and I hosted a table for the Louis Plow Festival. There was a fundraising dinner, and we had a few guests there, people who we invited to come. And we just had a great night. I had some people who were invited, and they weren't able to come, and a couple of them just sent me gave me a check and said, here, put it in the offering for this. But this event, there were over 100 tables of 10 people each that had been sold. So the event was paid for by each table. But there was literally 1,000 people in this room, business leaders, leaders in the church and the community, people who just had a heart for the Lord, all there to raise money for this festival coming up in August. 7th and 8th, the Twin Cities Festival. That'll be a Saturday and a Sunday. I've been talking with Ed and a couple other people, and we're probably going to have a very short service if we even have a service that Sunday, because I want everybody to be at the festival. I want you to be taking friends and family there. I want you to be there working, volunteering. As you see, there's an announcement that the youth will be having some training in April. There'll be also training for the adults coming up in June and July. I'm not sure if there's going to be any in May, but there might be there too. So there's a lot coming up. You're going to be hearing more and more about the Louis Plow Festival. You also notice that there's, if you look on the back table underneath the wreath, back wall, there's some prayer cards. Take one, fill out some names right on there who you're going to pray about for the next couple of months on who you're going to bring. So write out like 5 or 6 names, somebody who you're going to invite to the festival. And you can be praying for them on a daily basis and then invite them to the festival. And we'll pray that they will indeed be moved to receive Christ. Also, there's some bumper stickers there. If you're a bumper sticker person, this is for you. Now, here's the deal, though. If you put one of these bumper stickers on your car, you have to drive responsibly. Okay? No acting like an idiot when you're driving, you know, yelling at people, shaking your fists. Don't do that when you got Christian signs on your car. You know, I know I sometimes raise my voice or, you know, people try to be good. But if you're going to be a billboard, be a good billboard. Okay? That's enough on that. I have a relatively longer scripture passage today, so I didn't put it on the slides. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. If you don't, you can check the seats underneath in front of you. We'll be looking at Gospel of John, chapter 13. We'll be looking at the first 17 verses. John 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. The whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Let's pray. Father, we do indeed thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you just didn't come and preach it, that you just didn't have it written down by somebody, but you came, Lord, and lived it as an example for us. Lord, you showed us the depth of your love as only you could. You showed us how to walk with you and how to obey you through example, which speaks so much louder than any word. Now, Lord, we ask that you'd help us to understand the truth of your word here, Lord, that we wouldn't somehow miss the point, but Lord, that you would show us how we are to implement this into our lives and what you would have us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody here ever miss the point? Come on. Okay, Phyllis and I. Okay. There's a couple. I've had people tell me a story like, "Yeah," and I go out and say, "Well, no, that's not what I was talking about." You know, sometimes people just miss the point. I've got a couple examples of people missing the point. Now, these are actual statements, response cards that people wrote out to the U.S. Forest Service about the hiking trails. "A small deer ran into my camp and stole my bag of pickles. Is there any way I can get reimbursed? Please call." Trails need to be wider so people can walk holding hands. "Too many bugs and leeches and spiders and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to get rid of these pests." Couple more. "Need more signs to keep area pristine." Think about that one. "The places where trails do not exist are not well marked." "Too many rocks in the mountains." And probably one of my favorites here is, "The coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Please eradicate these annoying animals." And McDonald's would be nice at the trailhead. These people are missing the point of the wilderness, of the hiking experience. There's one that says escalators should be installed on all uphills. Okay. Sometimes when we read God's Word, we miss the point. Some of the ways we take the stuff, we go off in the other direction. We just miss it entirely. I know I have on occasion. This particular passage is not one that means that I ought to be washing your feet every week. Not that it's not something I shouldn't maybe do sometimes in a symbolic nature, but that's not what it's about. It's about a lifestyle. This passage, it's not about the ideal of humble service. It's not about the theology of humble service. It's not about even about the attitude of being of humble service. It's about the lifestyle, living it, doing it, being it. Okay? Some of you might have noticed my footwear. My wife did. She came up and sat next to me. Why are you wearing sandals? I said, haven't you looked at today's passage? I just got here. Well, it's about the washing of the disciples' feet. Why was Jesus washing the disciples' feet? Because this is the type of footwear they used to wear. Sandals. They didn't have nice paved roads like we do. If you look at my car right now, I drove about maybe a mile down a dirt road here on Thursday, and my car is filthy. 1 mile down a dirt road, and the entire car is wiped out. These people used to walk mile after mile after mile on dirt roads, cobblestones, dirty streets. That's how they got around. They didn't have the types of boots and shoes that we wear today, even the socks. They wore sandals. And when they were going to go someplace special, they would be at home and they would clean up and get nice just like you and I would do. And then they would put on their nice clothes, put on their sandals, and walk to where they're going. And when they got there, they had dirty feet. Not because they didn't clean them before they left, but because they walked through dirty streets, dirty roads. Now, when they got there to wherever it was going, it was the task of the slave who had the least seniority, the slave who was of the lowest rank, that was the one who was supposed to wash the guest's feet. And in those households where they didn't have a slave, it was supposed to be the task of the person who was of the least significance. And they were supposed to be the ones who washed feet. Now you'll notice in this story that we read today that they're all sitting at the table already eating and nobody's washed anybody's feet. Nobody was rushing to the task saying, ooh, 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 I'm the one of least significance. Let me wash your feet. How many here went around and said, ooh, 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 I want to be the one of least significance? Maybe if they're handing out responsibility and it looks like it might come down to be not such a good thing to be responsible, then say, okay, you don't see me. But most of us, we don't want to be the bottom. Some of us, many of us don't want to be the top. We prefer to be somewhere in the comfortable middle. You know, stuff flows downhill. We don't want to be the one at the bottom. You know, I was the eldest brother. I'd tell my sister, one sister what to do, and she would tell the younger sister what to do, and she'd turn around, and there's nobody but the dog. So, here we have the situation. They're sitting at the table, reclining, eating. The Passover meal. They're supposed to be clean. It's something that's ritualistically important. To come before God, to have dinner, as they await for the angel of death to pass by, to remember, to memorialize that occasion. And to wait and to celebrate. They needed to be clean. But yet they had dirty feet. Because nobody had said, I am the least significant here. I am going to do this task. And Jesus hadn't told anybody, okay, it's your job. Now, Ed, you're in charge of washing everybody's feet today. Get to it. Yeah. I could probably tell Ed that. I don't know how well it would go over. What do you think? Let's see, this is a volunteer organization. First, Ed's bigger than me. Probably not a smart idea on my part. But I don't think he'd bang. But if I treated him in such a manner, he would probably decide that he really didn't need to be around here much longer. So what did Jesus do? What was his response? First off, remember the opening passage. Verse 1 said, it was just before the Passover feast. And Jesus knew that the time had come for him to go and leave this world, to go to the Father. Okay, Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to be arrested. He knew he was going to be beaten. He knew he was going to be scourged. He knew these things were going to occur. He knew he was going to ultimately be crucified and die. Yes, he did know that the resurrection was coming, but he knew that there was going to be that break between him and the Father, that there would be that loss of fellowship when he took sin of the world upon himself. He wasn't looking forward to it, but he was going forward to it. Why? He said, having loved his own here in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. This is the beginning of that path, that trip, that night, that journey. But it's also, specifically, he showed them the extent of the love in the actions which occurred immediately therein. Because while the death of Jesus was that, the most humbling, humiliating one of the time, death through crucifixion was humiliating. It was a disgrace to your family. It's kind of like here in the United States to find out that, I've got somebody in my past who, they got lynched for horse wrestling or cattle wrestling or something like that. We don't talk about that. Well, it's even worse. That was the idea. It was the worst death. But now this action that Jesus did when he got down, that went away from the table, took off his outer garments, wrapped the towel around himself, went to wash. He was now engaging upon the most humiliating task that one could do in a social group. The next step would be, those of you who have taken care of people in nursing homes and sick relatives and loved ones, where you have to take care of their bodily needs, that's the next step. This is the most humiliating thing, humble thing, service that was done in a public setting. It's one thing to do something in private, but in front of others for everybody to see? Yet Jesus did this. This was to show the full extent of his love. Why? How? Why and how does this show that love? Well, remember the definition which I've told you so many times of love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. First and foremost, the word is selfless. Jesus didn't look at his needs to be foremost. He looked at their needs and he said, they need this, I will do it. He didn't look and say, they need this, I shall delegate. Not to say that delegation is out of the question or wrong, but he needed, in this group at that time, he needed to show the depth of his love. That there is nothing that he would not do for them. How many of you can say you love those who are here with that type of love? Think about it. Is there anything you would not do for me? I would like to think there is nothing I would not do for you. I don't know until it's put before me. You know, that's a test. I'm just going to have to wait and see whether I pass it or not. I would like to think that if you ask me, I will do it. If you need it, I will do it out of love. Sometimes what I need to do out of love is tell you no if it's something that you need to be doing on your own. But the issue here was this was something that Jesus that needed to be done, and Jesus did it to show the full extent of his love by performing the most humble and menial service possible. Jesus led his disciples by example. Now, I want to quickly compare and contrast this with Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 is where we have the appointing of the deacons. Because we had in the early church, they were meeting together and there were a lot of people that there were widows and those who didn't have money that were in this group. And their family wasn't there and the church was taking care of them. And they found that the Greek speakers, when those who weren't originally from Israel, but they were Jewish, but they were from outside, they felt that they were being slighted. They weren't getting their rightful share, and things were going on, and there was, and the disciples saying, you know, there's so much. We would spend all of our time waiting on tables if that's what we did. So they went ahead and they appointed 7 deacons. Now, they set the standard for these deacons very high. It was just the only difference between the standard they had set for the disciples and the replacement, the disciple who replaced Judas, and these was the requirement for the disciple to be a disciple was somebody who had been with Jesus from the beginning. That requirement they didn't make for a deacon. Otherwise, it was basically the same. It was very similar requirement, level of spirituality. This person had to be well respected. Well, these people needed to know the Scripture, be strong in the Lord. And what was their task? To see that people got fed. The distribution of food. And I'll learn to speak one of these days. But the distribution of food and provisions for their needs. These people, they didn't have a glamour job. And why did the disciples not do it? They said the issue was not that it wasn't right for them to take care of those people, or it wasn't a good thing, or it was beneath them. They said that they could not forsake their primary ministry of prayer and ministry to the Word. Ministry of the Word. And the disciples did what was necessary to see that both would be accomplished. Both things would be done. So what are we looking at here? How do we follow the example of Jesus here? And we have the example of the disciples who have set aside that task. The disciples did it. They showed their love. But they couldn't allow that to take them away from what their primary mission and purpose was. And we see when we look at Jesus, that Jesus didn't make washing of people's feet his primary mission. He didn't allow it to take away. He allowed that to actually add to and improve his message of the gospel and his presentation of it. It didn't become the thing that overcame. And it didn't stop him from getting forth the message that God wanted reconciliation with his people and that Jesus was the vehicle by which that reconciliation would occur. That he was indeed the kingdom of God come incarnate. We see that when Jesus tells Peter in verse 8, unless I wash you, you'll have no part with me. Salvation has to come through Jesus. That cleansing needs to come from Him. Only He can do that. If I was to say to you, you know, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. That's not what Jesus was asking us to follow His example for. This was to the question of, why are you washing my feet? I'm washing your feet because I have to be the one to cleanse you, as He's going to do the final cleansing at the cross. That's what Jesus was talking about there. But when we move on to verses 11 through 16, Jesus really puts down what He was doing here. This was as an example. He's saying, you call me Lord, you call me teacher, and rightly so. Yet I did this for you. I'm doing this as an example of how you're to treat one another. Now, did Jesus remove Himself from being the teacher, from being Lord, because He washed their feet? No. That wasn't an abdication of His position of authority. It was a manifestation of it. See, what we find is that God's economy and the way things work in truth in God's creation is different from what the wisdom of man would tell us. How does the wisdom of man tell us to accumulate wealth? Save it, right? How does the wisdom of God tell us to accumulate wealth? Give it away. Take it, send it to the storehouse and see if I don't bless you. Bless others with it. See if I don't bless you. Be a blessing to others. See if I don't bless you. And that's the situation right here. The wisdom of a man would tell us that when we humble ourselves in such a manner and do this menial task, that we will somehow take on this terrible burden, or that we'll somehow be lessened. And what we find in actuality is that we're not lessened, we're not burdened, but we're lifted up. When Jesus did this, it didn't make Him less of a Savior. It made Him more. When we do this, as in doing those things for those around us that need to be done, whether they be the most humble task, when we do that for each other, it lifts us up. When I sacrifice for you, I am blessed. So are you. Verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Be blessed is what I titled this message. How do you be blessed? You do what it is Jesus told us to do. What is it through this example? Did He tell us to wash our feet, that we should all run around in sandals so that we could wash each other's feet every Sunday? Figuratively, yes. We need to be open. You can see whether my feet are clean or dirty here. Their sandals are open. We need to be open to each other, to each other's needs. Oh, I see that your feet are dirty. Let me clean them for you. Now, if I had on shoes and socks, you wouldn't know whether I had dirty feet or not, would you? That's my figurative. How do we do that relationally? As we talk to one another within the church, we need to be open. If I'm having problems, when I say it, when you talk, how you doing, Pastor? I don't say, fine. Sorry about that. You know, the fake smile, the mask. Yeah, everything's great, wonderful. Wrong. and say, you know, I got a problem. Here's what it is. If I'm in a position to be of assistance, sometimes the best assistance I can be is just to listen. Sometimes, give a word of correction. Sometimes, perform an act of very humble service. But I won't know if we're not transparent with each other. You won't know. It's not about doing it to the exclusion of our primary duties. But do remember, what is our first command? As Christians, we are to love one another. Okay, first and foremost, always love the Lord our God with all our strength and all your might. Yes. But then, love one another as yourselves. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to treat one another. I'm supposed to act in a loving manner towards you, and you towards me. And especially when I'm in a position of authority, I should not be using that to coerce you or to somehow get you to serve me. In Christianity, when I'm in a position of authority, that means that I need to not just be willing to say that I will serve you, but to actually do it. We need to do that for each other. I'm going to open up the altar here this morning. Yet? Yes. And if you have a service that you would like me to do for you this morning, I'd ask you to come on up. Let me know. If you need prayer for healing, whether it be physical, spiritual, emotional, that's something we need to do for one another. You need to be transparent. You need to let us know. We need to come and pray with you. It's that ministering to each other. It's washing each other with the Word. And with God's love. Come forward. We'll pray. I'm going to ask that the worship team come up. What are we closing with here? The family of God. Well, hey, it works.